So it's my privilege this morning to introduce our guest speaker, all the way from Washington, D.C., Barry Black. On November 19th, 2015, I had the privilege of being the United States Senate chaplain for a day. And I had two privileges that most pastors never, ever get to do. The first was I got to open the Senate session that morning in prayer. And I was pleased to find out that every time the Senate is in session, every meeting, it's opened with prayer. I don't know if you knew that. What an encouragement to know that they're still allowing God into those meetings, amen, and invoking His wisdom and invoking His presence. So that was an incredible thing. And the second benefit that I got that very few pastors ever get is I got to spend a portion of that day with Dr. Barry Black. And I just remember sitting in his office and marveled at his humility as I sat in his office and looked at pictures all around the walls of the most famous religious and spiritual leaders around the world. And as I sat there, I'm thinking, God, this guy is like a really big deal. And yet, for that day, he made me feel like a dignitary. It wasn't like I was just a pastor from a church. It was as though I was that famous leader from around the world that he was serving as a representative of the United States. And so I was very humbled by that. Barry Black speaks all over the world. He speaks in churches regularly around the United States. He and his wife, Brenda, are you here this morning? She'll be at the next service. Okay, he and his wife, Brenda, are here. He speaks to presidents. He speaks at presidential prayer breakfast. He speaks in front of a lot of folks. And would you give Barry Black, the 62nd chaplain of the United States Senate, a warm welcome this morning?
Everybody, hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and you respond by saying, amen, amen, amen. Pastor Jeff does not realize that he is a famous pastor. Any pastor who will preach a series from the book of Revelation is a famous pastor. Hallelujah. Yeah. Do you know how intimidated ministers are by that book? They won't touch that book. All of the apocalyptic language. Let me give you a verse. I don't know if Pastor Jeff has given you this verse from Revelation. If any man worship the beast and his image or receive his mark in his forehead or in his hands, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. That's why we do not preach from the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. But thanks be to God, there are famous pastors who are courageous enough to go into that book and unpack it for the people of God. It's very interesting. A book called Revelation, and that's the one that we avoid, but praise God for it. I want to talk about getting through it to get to it. Getting through it to get to it. Now, for a long period of my life, I did not believe in love at first sight. But when I was in college, I became a student missionary to South America, to Peru. And when I returned, they gave me the opportunity to speak. This was my junior year. They gave me the opportunity to speak to the incoming freshman class. And if there is anything that brings jubilation to a young student at the undergraduate level, it is the opportunity to see the young freshman class coming in, the flower garden in a co-ed school, of course. Okay, wonderful, wonderful thing. And as I was heading to Moran Hall to speak to the freshman class during their orientation, I saw a young lady standing on the steps of Moran Hall. And scripture did not flash through my mind at that moment. Rather, the words of Christopher Marlowe in Dr. Faustus Ah, thou art fairer than the evening air, clad in the beauty of a thousand stars. Those words, I don't know why, but for some reason, they leap to my mind. John 3:16 is wonderful, but I did not think about that at that time. Okay? As I gave my presentation, I got dramatic about Peru. I'm trying to impress her. She was to the left. I saw her there. Trying to impress her, talking about mountain lions and alligators. They were, you know, but I inflated it. It was a tad bit hyperbolic. Oh, let's face it, I was lying. But the point is, praise the Lord, she seemed to be reasonably impressed. And then when I finished, I didn't go out and shake hands. I ran around the side of the building, and I caught up with her. I'd asked someone, what is her name? And I caught up with her on the way to Cunningham Hall, the girls' dormitory. And I said, Miss Pearsall, may I have a word with you? Now, imagine you sitting, hearing a keynote address during orientation, and the speaker walks up to you and calls you by name, okay? Miss Pearsall. And she said, how do you know my name? And dropping my voice down to Barry White decibels, not Barry Black, but you got to go Barry White sometimes, I said, I investigate things that are important to me. All right. Well, I ended up getting a date with this young lady from St. Petersburg, Florida, by way of New Bern, North Carolina. All right. But I had to preach that weekend in Kentucky. This was Huntsville, Alabama, where the school was. And driving back, I got a flat tire. So this date with my dream girl, okay, this date with my dream girl, I stood her up. And I went to the dormitory at midnight. That's how diligent I was. At midnight to explain to her. And I asked the resident assistant, would you please go and tell Miss Pearsall that Barry Black is here to see her. And the resident assistant went, knocked on the door at midnight, and came back with the message, Barry, Miss Pearsall says she doesn't know anybody by that name. That was the beginning of trying to get through it, okay? And it took a while, 5 years, okay? I had to rebuke some demons, but 5 years, okay? But she has now been my bride for 46 years. Okay? I had to get through it to get to it. Now, that is so descriptive of life. Okay? And many people underestimate the power of perseverance. The most gifted are not the ones who always succeed. The most gifted are not the ones who always make the greatest impact on life. Those who persevere, it is amazing what happens. Those who are willing to get through that obstacle course. Those who are willing to get through it, to get to it. Now, this is critically important that we understand this. First of all, because God has placed a law of sowing and reaping in his universe. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, you cannot make a fool out of God. You reap what you sow. Genesis 8:22 says, as long as time shall last, there will always be summer and winter, seed time and harvest. And if anyone knows anything about winter, South Dakotans know a little something, something about winter. It'll always be that, the law of sowing and reaping. And if you plant, even though Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the four soils, even though 75% of your seeds may miss pay dirt, falling on rocky soil, not even penetrating the ground, the birds taking it away, falling among the thorns, all of that's in Matthew chapter 13, that where the seeds germinate, but then they're choked by the thorns. If you keep planting, persevering, praise God, eventually you'll hit good soil and bring forth, says Matthew 13, 30 times as much, 60 times as much, and 100 times as much. You have the law of the harvest to depend upon. Okay? So you've got to get through it and not become discouraged because your planning doesn't seem to be working. Galatians 6:9 says, do not become weary in well-doing, for in due season, your due season is coming. You will reap if you faint not. You have a Savior who has your back. And Romans chapter 8 says, if the Lord be for you, talking about Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you and me on Calvary, if he is for you, who can be against you? Who cares who is against you when you've got backup like Jesus Christ? I said last evening, he spoke a world into existence. And I don't know what kind of networking you do, but you don't have someone who can speak a world into existence, who can say, let there be light, and there is light, who can speak and hollow out the valleys and bulge the mountains, who can form humanity from the dust of the ground and breathe, and humanity becomes a living soul. And then when he looks at man, he says, I can do better than that, and creates a woman, praise the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. You have him for backup. John 1 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the Lord of the harvest. And he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The grave could not even hold him. For after the crucifixion, the devil knew he was in trouble, because my Savior and yours shouted from the cross, it is finished. Three words in the English. Tetelestai, one word in the Greek. The devil said, we got to get busy. Put some soldiers, hold him in. But he got up, didn't he? Early Sunday morning, he got up and said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. So that Romans 8, 38 and 39, one of my favorite passages says, for I am persuaded, says the tent maker from Tarsus, that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, powers nor things present nor things to come, heights nor depths, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He can help you get through it to get to it, because he got through it. Nothing that you go through, he did not experience. The Bible says in Hebrews, he was tempted in all points like us, yet without sin. So get through it to get to it, because of that wonderful law of sowing and reaping. And I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:6. Paul says, I planted, that's just putting the seed in the ground, Apollos watered. Got to water the seed. Anyone who has a lawn, you know, you got to water it. 70% of lawn care I learned from my neighbor. I was envious of him. Don't you hate to have a neighbor when it's a drought and he's got the greenest lawn in the neighborhood? You say, look, we got to go have an intervention with this guy. It's a drought. The grass is supposed to be brown, okay? So I went to my next-door neighbor, and I said, Mark, come on. I know you have a biblical name, but what's going on? Is a miracle going on here with this? I mean, green grass, what's going on? And he said, water, water, water. I had to turn on the sprinkler system to get it going. Hey, I water, but God gives the increase. The harvest is supernatural. And so in 1 Corinthians 9, we can get it up on 1 Corinthians 9, beginning with verse 24, it says, do you not know that in a race, All the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games, these are the games that they used to have in the time of Christ, goes into strict training. You've got to get through it. Strict training, okay? They do it to get a crown that will not last. In our Olympics, a gold medal or a silver medal or a bronze medal. But we are involved in something that is far more important than that. We do it to get a crown that will last how long? It's going to last forever. Anybody here wants to live forever? My goodness. Think of it. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more sickness. 50 billion years into eternity, I won't be thinking about the girl who broke up with me in the 11th grade. All of that, all of those memories. You've got some of those memories. Don't get that sanctified look. I have no idea what he's talking about. Nothing like that has never happened to me. Everyone I ever asked, I don't know. No. Look. So you got to, forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I don't do shadow boxing. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. You must not be a slave to your body. You must make your body a slave to you. Make it my slave. So that after I have preach to others. And you know, we preach with our lives. 1 Corinthians 3:2 says, you are a living letter. You preach. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel everywhere you go. When necessary, use words. Edgar Guest says, I'd rather see your sermon than hear it any day. I'd rather it should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eyes are better pupils and more willing than the ears. Fine counsel is confusing, but example always clear. You preach. That is why our blessed Lord said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Lest at any time after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So how do you get through it to get to it? I'm glad you asked that question. First of all, you need to remember, my friends, that life is a battle. You are involved in warfare. That is why the Bible admonishes us in 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardness like a good soldier. And I spent 27 years in the military, and let me tell you something. When you are a person under orders, you can end up, as I did, sleeping on the ground in South Korea. No, I was not in the Korean War, but in South Korea in an exercise, sleeping on the ground, and it's 15 degrees out there. And you want to have an experience that will strengthen you spiritually. You sleep on the ground with 15 degrees, okay? And you'll get some spirituality in you, okay? All right? Endure hardness like a good soldier. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all those who live godly will suffer persecution. Look at what they did to our Lord. They said he cast out demons because he's a pal of Beelzebub. They've got a little agreement. If they said that about the purest person who ever walked the planet, what do you think they're going to say about us? Life is real. Life is earnest. Life is warfare. Our Savior told us in John 16:33. Now this is point blank range admonition. He said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. Wow. Can it get any clearer than that? In this world you will have trouble. I've officiated at over 100 weddings. remember my wedding. I stood there with a goma pile grin on my face, you know, surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, the preacher, you know, I just didn't even know what he was talking about. I don't even remember I just said, anytime he asked me a question, I do. Okay? My wife had to make me go to the wedding reception, okay? I said, let them in. I've had cake before. All right, let's get out of here, okay? All right. Some of you will get that on the way home. But anyhow, they had to force me, had to threaten me to go to the wedding. We said, Barry, we got it. We had the photographers. Look, I've waited long enough. Right? But like the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, if you stay here long enough, the wine will run out. And you must learn that in this world you will have trouble. I had a series of sermons on parenting, but then I had three sons. 25 steps to successful parenting. Honey, I think I'll publish this book. And then the teen years came. The pulpit is silent during the teen years. Pastor, we need them. No, I'm not going to be talking about it. No, the devil is a liar, okay? Praise the Lord, okay? So know that life is a battle. The second thing, if you're going to get through it to get to it, be in it to win it. Paul says you run to win. You fight to win. Be in it to win it. His valedictory speech as he was headed for execution by Nero, 2 Timothy 4, he says, I am now ready to die, essentially. Poured out as a drink offering. I have fought a good fight. My God. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I was in it to win it. Pastor Jeff, a dear friend of mine, a marvelous preacher, Charles Decatur Brooks, was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer that would take his life. When the doctor informed him that, Mr. Brooks, I'm very sorry, but there's nothing we can do. This cancer, it's given you weeks to live. Those who were in the room heard him mutter, this mighty man of God mutter under his breath, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. That is the power that our risen Lord gives us. He's been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And we who are his followers can say, even in the face of death, I've fought a good fight. I'm in it to win it. And then I love what Paul says in verse 8 of the, henceforth, my God, there is laid up for me a crown of right, I was in it to win it, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. You see, because of Christ, we will be, listen to me, we will be celebrities in heaven. Lucifer said in Isaiah chapter 14, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. And there was war in heaven. You heard it. The pastor preached through Revelation. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Jesus said in Luke 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So Lucifer took his beating. He wanted to be like the Most High. But because of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, when he shall appear, 1 John 3:2, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9, says, and I saw a multitude which no one could number from every nation, kindred, tribe, and people. If you don't like diversity, you're not going to like heaven. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and people. And the elder says, who are those robed in white? John said, I answered, I don't know. And he said, these are they, my God, who have gone through great tribulation.
talking about where we will be in wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. I had to get a little revelation in here since you're in there. Wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And they said, these folk will sit closest to the throne. They will serve God day and night. We will be celebrities in heaven because of Jesus Christ. We're in it to win it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so, there's a final thing, and that is discipline your body. Remember, you're at war, okay? Be in it to win it, and then you've got to discipline your body. Now, every time I see Pastor Jeff, he looks more fit. I don't even like that. Okay, all right, okay. He looks more fit than the last time. I said, okay, man, when are you going to put on some weight? Can't do that. Look like Jim Ryan about to run a mile. What is your problem? What are you doing? Are you fasting 40 days and 40 nights? You know, you got to discipline these bodies, okay? You know? And sometimes that means pushing away the plate. Our Lord disciplined his body after God got on the loudspeaker in Matthew 3 and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 4, 1 begins, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the demonic warfare. And when he had fasted, in fact, the scripture says when you fast, not if you fast, 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter came to him. And said in the Greek, since you are the Son of God, first class condition, not, since you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Discipline your body. And that's what Paul is talking about. I discipline my body and make it my slave, lest at any time after I preach to others, I myself will become disqualified. Okay. Now, how do you do it? And this is what I want to challenge us to do. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, when talking about our Lord, says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and humanity. Okay. There are four areas that we ought to be working on. Okay. Wisdom, intellectual. How fit are you intellectually? How disciplined are you intellectually? Someone said, if you want to hide something from an unsuccessful person, put it in a book. Okay. All right. Okay. You know, when's the last time you've read a difficult book? I tell people you ought to have an easy book and a difficult book. Okay. A difficult book is resistance training for the mind. Every year, I read Thomas Aquinas's Summa Theologica. Okay. When I started reading the Summa Theologica about 40 years ago. Okay. I couldn't even get through a paragraph without, what? You need a book that you have to reread the sentences to try to, any of the great books will do that. You know, try Immanuel Kant's The Critique of Pure Reason, okay? That'll, no, you don't want to go there, not yet. No, but, okay. Intellectually, socially, in favor with God and humanity, huh? How good, how comfortable are you socially? When you sit on a plane, can you start up a conversation with someone? Get Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. Discipline yourself in these areas spiritually. Okay. Our Lord increased spiritually. Someone had to teach him the messianic prophecy. Someone had to teach him, you know, about his mission. And in Luke chapter 2, when he's in the temple, he astounds the religious authorities. The Bible says he listened and asked questions. And I believed he asked questions about the slain lamb. In favor with God and in favor with humankind. Intellectually, spiritually, socially. Okay. That's what we ought to be striving for. And physically. Let us discipline ourselves. And when we do that, we're not going to be surprised when difficult times come because we know we're in a battle And we're going to endure hardness like good soldiers. We're not going to panic because we know we've already won. When Jesus said it is finished on Calvary, he was basically saying, turn out the lights, the party's over. You've already won. Praise his name. He paid your sin debt in full, past, present, and future before you were born. You've already won. You were born a winner. You only have to accept what he did on Calvary. So discipline yourselves intellectually, increased in wisdom, physically. Follow Pastor Jeff's example. Find out what vitamins he's using. He'll let you know. That's not classified, is it, Pastor? Okay. He said, he nodded. He says he'll help you out. He'll hook a brother and a sister up. Isn't that a wonderful man, a guy? Okay. In favor with God. A chapter a day keeps the devil away, and in favor with humanity. So this is what I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to make a commitment to focus on those four areas in Luke 2:52. Increasing intellectually. Start reading a little something. And now they have on your computer Script D. Any book I see in the bookstore, I can put it on Script D, and next thing I know, I'm reading it for free. I go in. It's a wonderful, the technology that we have. I have over 5,000 books. I used to have to travel with suitcases on this smartphone. I got a library on this smartphone. That's why there's no excuse. You don't have to say, I couldn't go to the university. Google is a university. Any question? I love it because anytime my wife and I have a heated fellowship, ministers and and it is the pastors and their spouses, they do not, you and Charlene have never argued, but we have heated fellowship, okay? Okay, baby girl, let's just Google it, let's just settle it, There it is. Bam! Now, I try not to glow, but bam! Okay. Pray for me. We still working. So you're making a commitment by the grace of God. I'm going to discipline myself intellectually and wisdom, physically, see inside you, in favor with God. That's spiritually. And let me make it easy for you. Proverbs has 31 chapters. If you read and pray through a chapter of Proverbs every day, you are reading the greatest success manual ever written. For over 50 years, I'll date myself, 50 years ago, I started praying a chapter of Proverbs every day, and I've been doing it. I haven't missed a day for over 50 years. And 50 years a day, I met Brenda, so you can see why I started praying Proverbs every day. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. In favor with humanity socially. Anybody here willing to make that commitment with me? I'm making that commitment today. If you are willing to make that commitment to honor our Lord and to get through it, to get to it, I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask that you stand so that I can pray for anyone who's going to make the commitment to discipline himself or herself in those four areas of Luke 2:52. If our Lord could increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and humanity, wow, praise God, we should try to make that effort also. Okay? And as a symbol of your commitment, I want you to just stretch your hands toward me, right? You're stretching your hands toward me, and that is a faith motion that you're making, saying, Heavenly Father, by your power and by your grace, we can't do it in our own strength. I am going to make that commitment to get through it, to get to it, disciplining myself, increasing intellectually, increasing physically, increasing spiritually, and increasing socially. Father, seal the commitments of these dear ones with the robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For it is in the name of our Savior and King Jesus we praise you and thank you. Amen and amen.